They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved.
The Lord be with you. Let us intentionally listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit among us this morning as we continue in our series of What is an Anabaptist Christian? Anabaptists have three sacred core values they follow. Jesus is the center of our faith, community is the center of our life, and reconciliation is the center of our work. So being a Christian from an Anabaptist perspective is a combination of believing in Jesus, belonging to community, and behaving in a reconciling way. Believing, belonging, behaving. So today we will focus on core value number two. Community is the center of our life. Now, after Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist, he was led into the desert to be tested by Satan for 40 days. And when he returned, what is the first thing reported in all the Gospels that he did? The fishing net. Yes. He formed a community, beginning with fishermen. These became his disciples, and they also became the core of a new society that was eventually called the church. By referring to his followers in family terms, it became evident that Jesus wanted his followers to not only believe in him, but to have a strong sense of belonging to each other. When the Roman Emperor Constantine took control of making Christianity the legal religion in 312 CE, instead of stressing the family as the church as a family of brothers and sisters that met together, Constantine emphasized the church as an organization that met in the large, impersonal structures. Wealthy men who wanted to be associated with the emperor joined, along with large numbers of baptized people, not necessarily following Jesus. So instead of the church being in the world came into the church. Constantine also built large churches everywhere, and instead of saying Christ-centered community is the center of our life, they said a church building is the center of our city. So turn in your bulletin, just inside on the page two, to our welcome statement there. And let's read that first bold statement together. And it's been in here in this way since COVID. We get so used to seeing it. Let's read it together. Welcome to First Mennonite Church, where we are the church and not the building. During COVID, we learned that firsthand, that we could no longer meet together face to face. So we couldn't worship in our sanctuary. We quickly learned how much we had been dependent on this building and this sanctuary. We just left everything from Lent there 4 years ago. Now we know that it's not the building. We've just proven that again, December 31st, when we closed our doors because of COVID and all the other gunk that was going around. And it was okay. We could do that because we had learned that the building is not the church. We are the church. And we were able to meet without our building, separately, yet together, as we were worshiping through our own interactive bulletins in our homes. The theologian and philosopher Augustine, from around 400 CE, who influenced the early Christians, instead of experiencing the presence of Christ in community, he emphasized experiencing the presence of God through the sacraments. A sacramental faith developed in which to be forgiven of original sin from Adam and Eve, one needed the ritual of baptism. To be forgiven for ongoing sins, believers needed the Mass, needed the forgiveness of communion. As centuries passed, the understanding developed that to be released from purgatory, that intermediate place after death, one needed to pray to the saints, give money to the poor, and buy grants from the Pope. Over time, the idea of belonging to Christ and to each other in close-knit community was largely lost. Those who wanted to follow Jesus obediently and to experience close community chose to become monks and nuns who live in monasteries and convents. This gave the impression that following Jesus in daily life and living relationally in Christ-centered community was impossible for common people. During the early 1500s, Martin Luther and Ulrich Zwingli and others tried to separate their teachings from Rome through a total Protestant Reformation, a reforming of the religion of the day. But there were complications for them when the peasants took up arms and challenged the unjust. It was the peasants' revolt. And these high-up men sided instead with the safety of the rulers. And they ended up unintentionally forging a new alliance, again, between the church and the state. Instead of total reform, they only reformed the church back to the structures set in motion by Constantine and Augustine. Anabaptist leaders like Menno Simons, a former Dutch priest, wanted to reform the church to its original New Testament pattern and form from Acts. On January 21st, 1525, in Zurich, Switzerland, a dozen men gathered at the home of Felix Mons. The issue for these early Anabaptists was the practice of infant baptism. The Anabaptists held that biblical baptism required public confession of sin and faith, something that babies cannot do. And on this night, George Blaurock, the priest of Chur, asked Conrad Grebel to baptize him. Then Blaurock went on and baptized the rest of them, and the Anabaptist movement officially began. So next January will mark 500 years of Anabaptism. 2 years later, Felix Mons was executed for his beliefs by drowning. He was the first martyr of the Radical Reformation. And a martyr is a person who is killed for their religious beliefs or other strong beliefs, but as a witness in public. The Anabaptists saw the church as transformed believers committed to Jesus and each other in covenant communities, Both Protestant and Catholic leaders viewed this as a threat to the established church. So they imprisoned and severely persecuted many Anabaptists. More than 4,000 were drowned, beheaded, or burned at the stake as martyrs of their faith. I remember when I was young, me with my three siblings would hide behind the chairs that were in front of the bookcase that shelved this book. And we would hide there and we'd look at the pictures. My brothers thought it was so cool that these gruesome pictures were from a Mennonite book. My sister and I would just kind of... But yet, we look at them. The book was translated from the original Dutch language of 1660. And the story of Dirk Willems, page 741, was one that we've heard many times. And next Sunday, Darren will be sharing that story for our Time for Kids. It is not a gruesome story. However... It's still one that's hard for me to accept. Because that Dirk returned to the ice to rescue his pursuer, and then his pursuer didn't even try to let him escape. So if you don't know that story, be paying attention to Darren next week. The full title of Martyrs' Mirrors is actually, it takes two breaths to say this, The Bloody Theater, or Martyrs' Mirrors of the Defenseless Christians Who Baptized Only Upon Confession of Faith and Who Suffered and Died for the Testimony of Jesus, Their Savior, and the Time of Christ to the year AD 1660. What a title. Some years ago, Bethel College in Kansas had a traveling museum of the Martyrs' Mirrors, which included many of the original copper etchings that were found in this book. And Warren and I spent a lot of time there when it was housed at Bluffton University. And we went through and read and read. And we spent more time than we really had in such a somber state. And then we had to go out and, you know, go back to the football game, you know, that type of thing. It was hard because with such heavy hearts at our history. I know some of you are also familiar with the Martyrs' Mirrors as the musical opera by Alice Parker, of which I think it's in the 70s, and many of you were participants in it. Next week, we will learn about how Christians with an Anabaptist perspective understand and practice Christ-centered community in three ways. Forgiveness is essential for community. The scriptures are interpreted in community. And community is experienced in face-to-face groups.